Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a little dreary, but it's a good morning. Hey. Well, let's just open in prayer and then we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for your word that gives life, that gives us truth that we can follow. And Lord, I pray that you would just lead this teaching, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to talk. Last week we talked a little bit about the family unit. But today I wanted to sort of follow that up with the God's family. And if we looked in Galatians 4, verses 5, well, let's see, halfway through, 4b, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So we are all God's children once we receive Christ. So now we're in the family of God. And my main text is going to be coming from Ephesians 4. And we'll back up a little bit in the end of 3. So the end of it's Ephesians chapter 3. I'll be reading from verse 14 on to 21, and then we'll continue on from there. Okay, Paul was talking to those in Ephesus because he's explaining how now the Gentiles are grafted into the family of God. It's because of Christ that who gave the ability to become sons and daughters, and not just the Jews, so it's the Gentiles also. So he's saying, for this reason I kneel before the Father, verse 14, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I'm going to stop there for a second. The family of God includes all who have believed in him in the past, all who believe in the present, and all who will believe in the future. We are all a family because we have the same Father, Father God. Okay, and I'll continue reading on verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how high, wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I'll stop there. So we know he is the source of all creation, the rightful owner of everything. God promises his love and his power to all of us who believe. And if we want to receive God's blessing, it's important to know that we have his power within us so we can establish the things that he's called us to do in the body of Christ. Those who isolate themselves from God's family and try to go alone cut themselves off from God's power. So we receive the power when we're in his family and together as a unit. And the whole thing, I was thinking about this lesson because unity is important. With all the things that are going on in our world today, there's so much division. There's so much division in the world. Let us not have division in the church body, because we need to be the light to the world. So we need to show unification in our body, which there's so many debates that can go on within the body of Christ, how to baptize, what's this, that. But as long as the sound doctrine is there that Christ died for our sins, we need to receive him as Lord and Savior for eternal life. And the main things that the gospel of the truth is preached, these other things should not be a problem to be debating and dividing ourselves with. So if we go on to about the part where it says here, so that we can know his love and know how wide, how long, how deep. I thought this was interesting from my notes. God's love is total, says Paul. It reaches every corner of our experience. It is wide, it covers the breadth of our own experiences, and it reaches out to the whole world. God's love is long, it continues the length of our lives. It is high, it rises to the heights of our celebration and elation. His love is deep, it goes to the deepest when we feel shut out and isolated and lost. There's God's love. And that's how he wants us to really know how much he loves us. So when we're rooted in that love and understanding, we can be better people to convey that love to others. So if we go to chapter 4, we'll read in there. And as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the blood of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one in one hope you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Okay. None of us are going to be perfect. This part always gets me, and I love that scripture it says here. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Okay, and being patient and bearing with one another. So is there other people that may annoy you? I mean, there's always going to be someone that we might not see eye to eye or the same ideas or how we do things. And and it's like, make every effort. It's not going to be a natural thing to just get along with everybody. And just in a regular family, brothers and sisters have arguments and fights and disagreements. But in the family of God, we're already grafted in because God chose us. We're in his family. And I happen to think about how, sometimes you complain about your brother or sister or someone. It's like, nah, 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 nah. So now that I'm a parent, I can sort of relate a little better. Don't say that about your brother or sister. You know, even though they're disagreeing, that's how God looks at us. He is the father of us. We're all his kids. And he doesn't want to see strife and division. He doesn't want to see bickering. He doesn't want to see all that. And he doesn't want you to talk about someone else because that hurts him. Not that we're having a problem here. This is just something that I felt like a need to, because of all the disagreements that can come in the whole body, as a whole, worldwide, everyone. So it's an effort. It takes effort to get along with people sometimes. And there's always going to be views of different sides. But that's the good thing about the body of Christ. If we look into, we'll keep our place in there. I'll just read from 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, I'm almost there. My new Bible isn't broken in yet. 12:12. Okay. Just as the body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, for we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So we all are a valuable part of the body of Christ. And sometimes we'll say, well, I'm not that, you know, I don't do this or that. I don't teach. Every one of us has a part. Like he goes on to say about, if you're the hand, we need every part of the body to operate fully and well. And if you look at verse 18, I can read, it says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Okay, so God puts everyone right where he wants us to be. So you're planted here. You're needed here, because every one of us plays an important role in another person's life, whether it be just to share our testimony of what we're going through or what we've been through, or to encourage one another, to pray and uplift, have small groups to encourage, things like that. We need each other. Okay. No one is ever going to be perfect here on earth, so we must accept and love other Christians in spite of their faults. When we see faults in fellow believers, we should be patient and gentle. That's a learned thing. By nature, we're not patient, we're not rule giving, and we want it our way, and I don't see why they're doing it that way, because my way's right, right? That's a struggle. That's a power struggle. That's that two-headed monster I talked about last week. You can only have one head, Christ. And we can't have two, you know. So there, someone's, when we see someone, or we have to be patient and gentle. Is there someone whose actions or personality that really annoys you? Rather dwelling on that person's weakness or looking for faults, pray for him or her. Then do even more, spend time getting to know that person or encourage that person. But it takes effort. And none of us are going to be perfect, but the calling of God is on us to be the light of the world, so everyone's looking at us. If I talk to a lot of people who aren't believers, and I used to be one of them, when I look at the church, sometimes you can find faults because of things that are going on in the body. And like, well, you know, we need to be the real true image of God, showing that we are rooted in love in Christ. We are loving. We are forgiving. That's what Christ gave us. So this might be a shorter lesson than last week. Okay. There is no such thing as private or individual Christianity, because we are a body. You can't just cut ourselves away and be the Lone Ranger and we're the only one that's right and we know how to, you know. Yes, we are important, but we need each other, like I said. We're not a Lone Ranger. It's not for us to be a private or individual Christianity. We need to be in relationships, especially first with God and then with others in the body. Let's go on to read on. Let's see. Let's go to verse 11. Excuse me. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. He gave all to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And if you look at verse... we'll stop there for a second. Our oneness in Christ does not destroy our individuality. The Holy Spirit has given each Christian special gifts for building up the church. Now that we have these gifts, it is crucial to them. Are you spiritually mature, exercising the gifts that God has given you? And that's part of the thing. He equips us for every good work. So we can't say, I can't do that, because we can. God's given us the ability and equips us. It's through the Holy Spirit. And becoming mature isn't very important. It doesn't just stop at when you become a Christian and you accept Christ, that's it. The finality is here. I'm here. I've arrived. I don't have to do anything else. No, we're supposed to continually keep growing in the Lord, because there's so much that, hey, let's just face it, we all need changed. Is there any one of us can say, I don't need any changes in my life? I don't think so. Because God's growing us and helping us to grow. We need to be willing to be led and taught and to grow and mature so that we can all work together as a body. there's a big high calling on us. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We have to be able to reach out to others. So it starts with us, though. We need to look at where we are and where I need to grow. So let's see. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants. See, we got to quit. Don't be a baby yet in the Christ. We need to continue to grow up. Tossed back and forth by the waves. How about that? And blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, that's an important part. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, we need to speak the truth in love. That's not always easy. Sometimes I like what the first, where is that footnote? I really like that too. Verse 15. In describing the mature Christian, Paul says that one of the marks is speaking the truth in love. This sounds so simple, but it seems so hard for us to do. Some of us are fairly good at speaking the truth, but we forget to be loving. Some of us are good at being loving, but we don't have it in us to level with others with the truth that is painful. So you got to have a little mixture of love and the truth together. But doesn't that help people to recognize things that they need to grow in when you do it in love? But if you're pointing the finger, it doesn't work as well. Then all of a sudden you have that defense neck. I don't want it. What are you telling me, that I'm wrong in this? No. I always want to be right, and I always want to have the last word in, too. See, it's just like anything. It's easy to accept truth when it's in love. It's just like the different styles of preaching, okay? There are ways that people are going to respond to the truth better. Sometimes, yes, okay, the scare tactic worked for me, too. I don't want to go to hell. So when I heard that I was a sinner and I needed saved and I needed to repent, buddy, I was at the altar. I'm sorry, and I don't want to go to hell. But then from then on in, it was, I understood the love of Christ, the grace, the mercy. So we need a balance of the truth, that we need Christ, or we will not be able to live forever eternally with him. We'll be separated without him forever. But we also need to understand that God loves you more than your sin, and he accepts you as you are if you're just willing to come to him. So, yeah, and there's different other things that you could look at, but that was just an example I thought of. Let's see here. Some of us are, the instruction here is to do both. Speak the truth, but do it in a loving manner. Think of the trouble we would spare ourselves if we followed this practice, especially in the church body. When you have a problem with another believer, don't go to someone else. Go directly to that person and speak to them. That's talking about other divisions. But anyway, I have a... Boy, I'm really going to be early today. Maybe that's a good thing, huh? I think, too, that people in the world that aren't believers are looking for something other than to find their faults. They already know that they may have faults. We all have faults and sin in our life or something that we need to address. But we need to encourage and grow together to impact those people by giving the example of real love and acceptance. Because if you look at a lot of people that are hurting in the world, they want acceptance. They want to belong. And we all want to belong. So I think that we should be a body that they want to belong to. Like, yeah, find that place where they're accepted, where they, wherever they are in their life, whether it be, you know, whatever kind of lifestyle they're living, we need to open our hearts to them and show that love of Christ. So, okay, so here's my believers are the common thing. I'm going to take this from my notes. You may have this in yours, but the things that we are related together in, we are in body. Believers are one in body, the fellowship of believers in the church. Okay? It's in the church. And then we are believers that are one in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who activates the fellowship that we have and helps us grow. So we are one in the Spirit. I'm not going to write everything down here. And we are one in hope. As believers, because the glorious future to which we are called, we have that hope. That's our thing that unites us together. We all have that hope. We have one Lord, Christ, whom we are all belong to Him. We are in the family because of Him. One faith. That's our singular commitment to Christ. And one baptism. The sign that of entry into the church. We are all baptized into the church. And one God, who is our Father, who keeps us for eternity. Okay, now, when you look at this, this is the main thing that unifies us, that we believe this. This is the most important thing, and that we speak the truth, and we display it in love. Keep thinking of that song, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love." It goes through my head. But, you know, it's a simple thing, but it's such a hard thing. Sometimes it's not easy. There's different things that I've come from different things where things were taught that were not sound doctrine. So I am a big thing about being careful to search the scriptures and know the truth and be careful because there's many deceitful things out there. Like it says here in verse 14, we won't be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every word of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. So we have to have that discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit to be careful to weigh out the truth and line it up here, because I was in a situation before that the teaching wasn't about, it was all about knowledge of learning, but not understanding the meaning of it, that it was all united in love through Christ. Jesus was just a teacher to them, and a good man, but he wasn't Christ, God in the flesh, and he wasn't the Savior of the world. So you got to be careful, because everything else sounded really good, especially someone like me that didn't grow up in church. So I felt like this person cared for me, and she did, because she wanted to teach me some things, but you got to be careful. So everyone's searching for that belonging and love, but they need to see an example of that love in the church body. And go ahead. Yeah.
And when we do find out, we know that he is who he says.
Yep. Yeah, because he formed us in the womb, and he knew us. So if he knew us way back then, there's a part of us that sort of is looking for that missing piece, like you said. That's good. Cliff, did you have something to say? Oh, I thought you were going like that. Nah, any comments so far? Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And we do need conviction.
Yes.
Let's be clear here. I'm not saying that we should just be all love, love, love. It's that truth in love, balancing with the truth, but in love. But you also have to be firm with the truth. Like, there's a difference of condemnation and conviction. The condemnation makes you feel shameful and terrible about yourself and sin, and it feels like you're even worse off to come to him. But the conviction that the Holy Spirit gives helps us to realize things in a loving way that will guide us to him. Thank goodness. Yes, yes.
And that's a good thing, but you don't want that.
It's a reminder where we've come from.
Yes.
And the goodness of God.
And
yes.
That's also a good reminder where you've come from.
That's true, yeah. Clip.
When you said about conviction, it's not up to me to convict you.
Nope. No. It's the Holy Spirit, yes. Yes, exactly. And
I think so often that's what happens. We try to, sort of manipulate in a convicting way.
Yeah. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Because the Bible says his loving kindness leads us to repentance. It's his love that he works on us. The Holy Spirit's always worked. Like, before I came to Christ, I knew that I needed something. But then now that I'm in the body of Christ, I see that we need each other to complete the body. We're part of it now. I belong to a special God's child. You know, I'm his child. So we need to just be more of that example as in everyday life of our walk of life of being, they're going to see how we act as a brother and sister in Christ throughout the church. Yeah, I'm the beloved. I'm the one he... And we all, each one of us are. That's right. Oh, that's right. Jesus loves me, this I know. That's a good one. So too often believers are separated because of minor differences in doctrine, but Paul here shows that those areas where Christians must agree on to attain true unity, which is these things here, should never be allowed to dissolve that unity. So the differences shouldn't be able to distract us and dissolve unity in the church. There's always going to be someone that likes to do things, that we talked about this yesterday, differently or see things differently, have a different opinion. But if we're all rooted in love, we're going to start producing that fruit out of love. That's right. The truth will set you free. Free from a lot of things. Condemnation. Free from your own slavery, from yourself. Well, this is more of a evangelizing come to Christ place. Which I know I was going to talk about Billy Graham too today because I thought of him being such a major influence on so many people. I didn't get to do a lot of, but I did write a couple of his quotes down that I thought were good. He says, "I have one message, that Jesus Christ came, he died on a cross, he rose again. He asks us to repent of our sins and receive him by faith as Lord and Savior. And if we do, we have forgiveness of all of our sins. That was on a Twitter that he had put. And his... there was like two more of them. I could read them all. One of them was good too. So they're all good. But my purpose in life is to help people find a personal relationship with God, which I believe comes from knowing Christ. And being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's a daily process whereby you grow to be more like Christ. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to grow. But we have to want to grow. And part of that growing is being together as a church body. Like, if you look at our physical body, we need our blood, we need our heart, we need the organs, the brain, everything functions together. So that's how we are to be, helping each other, reaching out to other people. There may be different gifts that we have, but that's a good thing. And differences can be good because they complement each other. Last week we talked about husbands and wives complementing each other, you know, being the other part to complete them. So as long as we have Christ as the head of our body, we're okay. It is, yeah. Just like a thumb. You need a thumb. Because it's hard to grab anything without that thumb, you know? I probably missed a lot of stuff here. I'm sorry if I scattered around. But I think that what people need to see is not a lot of rules and regulations in the church and differences being dividing any churches. They need to see the actions that come from love, and we all are part of that action, and it's a good thing. And hey, even if it's a small, like if you look at individual churches, like we may not have a huge thousands, but we have mighty if we just let God use us to be who he created us and equipped us to be, right? Any other thoughts before we close? Right. Yeah, because it's a home, that like last week we talked about the family unit, which is so important, but we need to keep passing that into our children to be part of.
And I think that's something that we keep seeing as a reoccurring, you know, knowledge of what she means.
Yeah.
The family as a home group.
Right.
You know, and so often, even if you are with your spouse, everybody's running and there's not that connectedness, I don't think.
Right. That's true, right.
I think that it is, it's part, you know, part of our society's problem right now. I think it's more the parenting.
Right. And if you think about the parenting, especially if you belong to the body of Christ, you have more help to help that family unit.
And that's why I think as just church members, we need to incorporate in our body, you know, like if not your home body, you don't take them home with you necessarily, but the children of the church.
Right.
The children, you know, pray for them.
Yes.
You know, stand behind them and pray. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, and grandparents with their grandchildren, and
Yeah. Right, and I'm thinking too, even for like myself, now mom's here now, which I'm so thankful, but when I was younger, we didn't grow up in church, but we had someone take me to church. And I started to see what that was all like, because I didn't know that other side. So, and that started the drawing by the Spirit, and then eventually even, it goes back, you know, from the children to the parents coming to the Lord or grand. So it's like, it's all, but if we are here as a body working together, there are kids that might come that don't have any idea.
We're not all really grand, but we can't be out there reaching them.
Right.
It starts kind of small.
Right.
Like the small stuff.
Right.
Small beginnings. But it's just like, it starts in families like that, like what the pastor's blessed.
Yeah.
Yep.
You could look at part of my family right here. Right. And it is, yeah.
So that's hard to look.
Yeah, the Billy Graham thing was like, you think of him being so, wow, but you know what? We are all in our home, in our friendships, relationships, community, the store where we work. Yeah.
He was a stronghold there. Not necessarily on the weeping, but more on his revivals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I remember when I was in high school, I grew up in church all my life. From the day I was born, I was brought to faithful church that next Sunday.
Uh-huh.
That's just how, but you know. But when I was in high school, my high school band director had gone to a Billy Graham revival. You know, but yet he couldn't really do it on school time or on, you know, like he didn't really want to do it there.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a place and we went, and there was a bunch of us went. And he showed us, like, it was very sketchy. It might have even been on a real to real.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's
amazing.
Uh-huh. He talked to us. His name was Stephen Bench. You know, I thought, Mr. Bench, I remember.
Uh-huh.
But
mm-hmm.
But he still had
that impact
because of that man sharing
his faith, yeah.
To some school students outside of school,
uh-huh.
But in a different place. But he just really had a burden, and that affected him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did. And I remember praying this in a prayer. He had his.
Yeah.
He wanted to pray this, you know, like just like Billy Graham did. You know, and he had a dramatic change. Now there were people who thought he went off.
I've heard that too. Yes.
But this was earlier on, like in my high school. Like I had been in the band from 6th grade to 12th grade. And I think it was probably maybe 9th or 10th grade. But you know, it was just like that first introduction to really having to know Jesus as a person.
Right.
You know, and it came through Billy Graham, through somebody else. And so that's just the same with us. I think we can share our, you know, I haven't thought of that.
All these,
on
yeah.
TV or things on the computer, I just thought, wow, I remember him and then them singing the song, "The Sad As I Am."
Oh.
You know, they would always sing that song at the end, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that. See, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of the thing, too. Yeah. It doesn't.
He's passed away. Because I thought of that another time. I was wishing sometime. When we went to Dave's 50th reunion, there were so many connections to church and ministers in full time ministry, and there's children in full time ministry. And, you know, so that was a big thing.
Wow. See? That's true. God already knew that was, yeah. Oh, yeah. But see, there it crosses the lines of, I mean, not cross, different denominations and different branches, different things. It's as long we have to just be able to agree on the most important things that are true, the doctrines of Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. The other ways that I was taught was all on works and just learning, and that's not where it's at. It's about that and a relationship with Christ. So
I always wanted to be at one of Billy Graham's services, and I wanted to be one of those persons walking
down the aisle. Aw. Yeah, yeah, even back then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, see, there's a lot of people you talk to now have had some kind of impact from him and his, like, but he was able to speak the truth, no matter if some people didn't like it. Right. Yeah, you can go to any, yeah, you don't have to even be in church. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. In your car. But once you have accepted Christ, you are now in the family of God. And as a family of God, it's important to keep the unity of the basic truths that are important and how we can be a family to want to include more people in the family of God. Right? All right, let's close with prayer. Father, we just thank you, God, that we are your children. We are privileged to be part of your family. And Lord, I pray that we will have a desire to draw more people into your family by the way we live and how we speak. And just because of your love for us, we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us that. So we pray that you would continue to help us grow in the unity of the faith together as your children in one body. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay.